Hello, brothers and sisters. This is the Remnant Warrior, and you are now listening to By Their Fruits on the Kingdom Productions Network.
By their fruits, you shall know them. By their fruits. By their fruits. By their fruits. By their fruits. By their fruits, you shall know them.
Hello, brothers and sisters. It is the Remnant Warrior here to tell you guys about another absolutely amazing way for you to get exclusive access to documentaries, audio and ebooks, and exclusive episodes of our brand new monthly subscription-only podcast with myself, John, and Jeremy from By Their Fruits, and a different special guest host each month. And best of all, you, the subscribers, get to vote and choose on the topic that we discuss in the episodes each month. You get all of this, as well as the same access to the almost 200 episodes, books, and documentaries that you already have access to for only $2.99 a month. Now, we have a library of over 250 documentaries, ebooks, and audiobooks that we will be uploading to our subscriber only content each month. You will not only get access to absolutely amazing content, but you will also be helping this ministry to continue to spread the good news of the gospel of the kingdom to over 70 nations around the world that currently listen to the programs and Bible studies on Kingdom Productions Network. So guys, please pray about becoming a monthly subscriber. It's only $2.99 a month. That's less than a latte at Starbucks. So I hope you guys will sincerely think about helping us out, and I love each and every one of you. May God bless you all. Grace and peace.
Welcome to By Their Fruits. I am your host, Jeremy Stone, and I'm here with my co-host, John Brisson. What's up, John?
Doing well, Jeremy. Hope everybody's doing well out there during this hot summer.
It is hot.
So-called forest fires everywhere, I guess. So and smoke in the air and red smoke. So
right, it's the end of the world. That's what it feels like.
It does feel like that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, we got a special guest on tonight. Another recurring guest. His name is Jeremy Anderson. He's part of the Kingdom Productions and Dude, I messed it all up already. You know what, Jeremy? Right, just cool, introduce yourself, dude.
It's cool.
He is the head honcho of the Kingdom Productions Network.
There is no head honcho.
Oh, publishing. Yeah, we forgot that's the word I was looking for.
Well, but see, the Kingdom Productions Network is the podcasting and documentary the audio and video content wing of Kingdom Productions and Publishing. So I mean, like, Kingdom Productions and Publishing is a ministry that's been around for 5 years and, a little over 5 years. And
we on the West Wing.
Yeah, y'all. Well, you are anyway. John and I would be the East Wing.
Dang, that hurt.
Representing East Coast, baby. That's right.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I haven't traded. What? Trust me, I'm over here, but I hate it. So.
Well, I mean, what else could we call it with John and I being in North and South Carolina, and
true.
You being in New Mexico?
I'm more of a Yankee.
My soul is in New Hampshire, so.
But as most people are listening to as well, he is pastor and also host of the Remnant Report. Jeremy Anderson, it's so good to have you back here on By Their Fruits, brother.
Well, I'm thrilled as always to be on any program with two of my favorite people in the kingdom of God. And
pulling really, on the heartstrings.
The earth. Well, not, man, I'm serious. I mean, you know, you've been one of my best friends for a long time, and that's saying something considering we haven't met face to face. You know, Matthew Marcel is another one. You know, he is my prayer partner and, you know, one of my best friends and my co-host of of Return of the Historic Faith. When he wants to be.
I know it's coming.
He really is. That's why we haven't done many episodes this year, because I won't do them without him. But
yeah, he's doing a lot, man. He's a busy boy now. I've been talking to him.
You know, he does his share. He teaches our Bible study on Tuesday night. So, I mean, mm-hmm. It's not like he's not doing anything.
Of course.
But,
he's got Bubba to take care of. He started that roofing company, inspection company. He's doing a lot, bro.
Yeah, the Lord has blessed where little Bubba is concerned. You know, they've gotten past all of the court battles as far as the
custody
family
wise.
Court. Well, no, not custody wise, but family court with the biological parents. Now they're just in the adoption phase. So I don't know how long that'll take, but
I don't know. But we got to have them on here soon with all of us, dude. We got to get together.
Agreed.
For sure. Yeah. So tonight's going to be one of those episodes where it's a little bit different. We don't have a specific topic to talk about, but we have the gathering of the minds here just to break down some recent events and our opinions on some things that are really happening all around the country. And, you know, it all relates to Bible prophecy and, you know, the biblical worldview. And that's how we're going to break it down. So the
guys,
first thing
we jump off on the subjects, can we talk about something really quick? Like just bring it to the attention of the listeners. And I mean, it doesn't have to be long. I just want people to know that it's there. And maybe add the link in the description of the program. But that's the monthly subscription to the Kingdom Productions Network. That was I can't remember how long it's been, but it hasn't been long. Maybe 2 weeks, maybe two and a half at the most, since we started the monthly subscription to the Kingdom Productions Network. And we're working on getting content, like bonus content for it. It is Kingdom Productions version. It's going to be our version of like Patreon, and it already comes with a lot, even though we don't have a lot of new subscription episodes. For the month of June, the rest of the month of June, everyone who subscribes to the Kingdom Productions Network will be receiving all kinds of digital content. Like, I've already sent emails to everyone who subscribed so far with links to 70 of the best they have to be ebooks because, you know, they're in ebook format the way that we have them. But 70 of the best Christian books of all time, and also there's a separate library that's got almost it's got about 75 documentaries in it that I'm constantly adding to. And some of these are, you know, up on the network, but a whole lot of them, I would say more, aren't up on the network than are. And, you know, you automatically get that. We're trying to get our Kingdom Productions merchandise, which will be just basically for now t-shirts and maybe hats. We're trying to get that started as soon as possible within the next week or so. And everyone who subscribes in the month of June will automatically receive 50% off the whatever merchandise we happen to be able to offer for the entire year of 2023 if you subscribe in the month of June. So
yeah, let me hop in here just real quick and say, you know, for the price, and Jeremy, you can tell the audience the price, but for the price of the subscription, $2.99 a month. Man, that is such a deal. That is such a deal, guys. So if you could, please go and subscribe, get the subscription. It's literally less than a cup of coffee. Like, and you get all this, you get all these benefits and product. Like, why wouldn't you? 50% off these things. That's incredible. That's a great deal.
So. Yeah. And I'll be honest, the 70 books alone, each one of these books are between $20 and $30. And it, wow. Even the Kindle versions are between $15 and $30.
Yeah, we got to catch up with you, buddy. I mean, I've been planning on trying to make some merchandise for Buy Their Fruits. We gotta test.
Well, I mean, the Kingdom Productions merchandise will be a Buy Their Fruits t-shirt, you know, a Remnant Report t-shirt, Return of the Historic Faith t-shirt, a Kingdom Productions Network t-shirt.
Yeah, you got the whole crew in there. But just to add to that, we're trying to we got some test shirts for my wife and I were discussing it. We're gonna try to, like, we got a little baby, like just a plain black shirt. I'm going to put the Buy Their Fruits emblem on there, and obviously the name of the podcast. And we're going to make an adult version just for a test, kind of like a test trial. We just want to, whoever buys it will get the, and they have a child, you know, you're going to get the baby one for free. So
awesome.
Just something to try out. Yeah. So, all right, boys. So what are we talking about tonight? Just a whole bunch of random stuff as far as I know.
Yeah.
What do you want to start off with? The UFO?
That'll work.
Go with me.
All right. John, have you heard of this yet? I'm sure you have.
So I'm going to talk a little bit real quick to kind of set the stage for it.
Sure.
So I've been following them pushing off and on the false staged alien invasion for years now. I think it's part of the coming quote unquote great awakening that the theosophist Alice Bailey and Blavatsky all wrote about, and Barbara Marx Hubbard, and they've kind of pushed it more towards the forefront of conspiracy and conservative media, where I did a previous show exposing the Kabbalist elitist Tucker Carlson on my We Read the Documents channel. And he has been pushing the false alien invasion narrative and the false government whistleblowers like Louis Elizondo on his Fox News show for years, almost ever since he started on Fox News. And that's continued now that he's on Twitter. since he's left Fox News. One of his most shows back to Twitter was to talk about the new government whistleblower. It's going to whistleblow on aliens. And, you know, we see other, you know, people also discussing it, you know, kind of within the conservative Council for National Policy circles on social media and on YouTube and on television shows. Fox News even pushed it. I covered even with Tucker not being there. And so we had Matt Walsh, who claims to be he claims to believe in Jesus and God, but he is Catholic. And I find Matt Walsh extremely suspect. I don't think he is a born again believer. But he, you know, was pushed again, kind of actually making fun of Christians who don't believe that there's such thing as little green or little gray, you know, aliens out there, you know, because, you know, you got the whole Vatican Lucifer telescope, right? So he's kind of like pushing back on anybody that believes that they're demons or spirits, they're not extraterrestrial aliens, kind of making fun and saying how silly it was of anybody who believes a kind of a biblical view towards these aliens, that it's either advanced government craft, because most alien sightings tend to be and then roughly in the recorded history the past 100 years within the United States of America primarily, and actually within the past 120 odd years as well too, more than you know, history that we know of. So, you know, I go back and forth of whether they're, you know, the Nephilim, whether they're demons, or whether it's primarily government advanced technology and craft, or a combination of all three, or a combination of two, or whatever. But we have more and more people out there pushing, you know, the existence of extraterrestrials, which the government has denied forever, but now they're kind of not denying it to set the stage. And Hollywood has gone waffled back and forth of whether extraterrestrials are good or bad. And, you know, and we have the conspiracy, you know, conspiracism put out there, whether it's through Serge Monast and Project Bluebeam, which Project Bluebeam was more about kind of it was less about aliens and more about kind of like projections and broadcasts of various religious figures. You know, and so you also have a Wernher von Braun's deathbed confession about they're going to falsify some sort of alien invasion to unite the world. And I think that's a lot of that's conspiracism. We'll find out whether or not that happens or not. I'll talk about that one last thing in a minute. But we also have this Scientologist, John Mappin, who calls himself a Christian Scientologist. He says he claims he loves the Lord, claims he loves Jesus.
That's a bit of an oxymoron.
A man cannot serve two masters. I like to tell John Mappin on Twitter. He's also the founder of Turning Point United Kingdom, one of the founding members and a major pusher of the Great Awakening, Trump believer. And he was pushing Dr. Stephen Greer's massive UFO disclosure at the press club, National Press Club in Washington, D.C. that happened a few days ago.
I watched a part of that. Have you seen the video that I sent to you guys?
Yes. And I think one of the guys, I don't remember exactly who it was. I don't remember. Was it the whistleblower supposedly or not? One of them had a Freemason pin on. Did you see that, Jeremy?
I did see that. And it wasn't the whistleblower that's
I didn't think it was. I thought it was the other guy.
Yeah, but he is a whistleblower. And they had some interesting testimonies there.
If by whistleblower you mean if aliens did exist, he'd have two bullets put in the back of him and put into a ditch. Well, that's my opinion anyway. I mean, I know how you guys feel about it too, but I mean, I think these whistleblowers are government paid shills.
Yeah, like the true whistleblowers, I think you can see which ones they are, because they will mysteriously have plane crashes or kill themselves.
Well, what do you guys think about Snowden? Serious. You think he just got out in time?
No. Well, I mean, Snowden's a shill. And Assange. I'll go as far as say Assange, too. They're both shills.
Oof.
Shill or not, I don't know. I don't have my mind made up on Snowden, but I'll say he definitely have had ulterior motives beside more than just wanting people to know the truth. That's
because what he leaked, we already knew anyway, that the government was spying on us. It truly was nothing new and truly didn't do anything. Assange, we can have a whole discussion if anybody wants to come to me. We've read the documents at protelmail.com. Assange ain't our guy either. He's a big part of the Great Awakening. He's being persecuted right now, very similar to how Trump was. None of these people are. None of these people are. Except I understand Assange is in jail and they got to play a narrative. I get that. But none of these people are for us.
Well, okay. Can I ask a question just because I don't know? Like, Snowden never came back to the U.S., right? Like,
he's still in Russia.
Yeah. All right. Well, like, I realized that Russia would be the place to go if you wanted to keep from the CIA assassinating you or whatever, but
good asylum spot.
I still think that they could have got him.
Yep.
Oh yeah, for sure, dude, for sure. And I just want to touch a little bit on this since we're on the topic. Let's touch a little bit on this quote unquote whistleblower. His name is David.
Hold on, Jeremy. Can I say one last thing to this in clothing? Just real quick. To close that thought. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just want to close the thought I was on. They are setting up. I used to think that they were setting up for a false alien invasion kind of, you know, that will play into the end times. However, I will say this. I'm not so sure. Because when you look at Twitter and you look at the engagement of all of this, the engagement of the Stephen Greer posts and the whistleblower and all that, if you actually look, now those analytics could be messed up on purpose, but nobody's really looking at that. They're ratioed hard. People are not liking it. People are not retweeting it. I don't know why, but they're not. Now, the ratios could be manipulated on Twitter's algorithms make it appear that way, and maybe more people are open to it or not. I don't know, but at least from if those metrics are accurate, people really are not falling for it. They really do not care,
right?
So again, I've that noticed. Could change the moment they project stuff up in the skies and they find stuff and the governments of the world come out, right? But I don't know, they might call an audible and it might not ever come to fruition.
I think a lot of that's probably it's lost its shock value. Like, it's not the complete, disclosure that people see that they keep calling this stuff disclosure, but they haven't, like you said, they haven't really disclosed anything that at least true researchers didn't already have access to. I mean, even with the whole Fox News Tucker Carlson thing, I saw that video before that ever came out.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people are, in general, they're just desensitized. I mean, isn't that the whole point of all the
that's what
propaganda in the movies and for years and years and years, you know, like, yeah, that shock isn't there. Because I guarantee you, if this was going down in the 1920s, it would be the biggest story in the whole world.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah, so this guy, his name is David Grush. I think it's Grush. Let me see. David Charles Grush, okay? And he came out, I don't know, about a week ago or so. He was a former intelligence official turned whistleblower. He gave Congress and intelligence community inspector general extensive classified information about deeply covert programs that he says possesses retrieved and intact and partially intact craft of non-human origin. And what's funny about that is NASA, around the same time, literally around the same exact time, came out with a press release saying, we have no proof at all that UFOs are, UFOs have nothing to do with the entire UAP phenomenon. Like, they're denying the whole thing. And when nobody trusts NASA, so when NASA sits there and says that there is no UFO phenomenon going on, like legitimate, you know, out of this world beings that is mixed in with this UAP UFO phenomenon, nobody believes them. So they tend to lean towards, oh, well, there must be if NASA's saying there isn't. And then you have this guy coming out saying there is, and we have confident you know, disclosures that we can trust. And now, you know, it must be official that UFOs are here and aliens exist and blah, blah, blah. And so these people fall into these two different camps. But what if they're both a psyop?
To that, what you just said, I want to say two things. And it's what I wanted to touch on about this whole disclosure thing. And first, I want to say that we have a documentary, a video documentary up on the network. In order to watch it in video, you would have to go to the Spotify app. But it is a video documentary, and normally we only show Christian content created by Christians. This documentary, however, is a UFO TV documentary, which normally I would never show, but I saw it before I put it up, and the content is very sound. It's very accurate. And it's, in my opinion, it shows what I have believed NASA was created for all along, which was to kind of hide the fact that aliens are demonic entities. And it also shows the occult origins of NASA and the top people that founded NASA. But throughout this thing, even though the people who made it are not Christians, you know, it's got a lot of information, accurate information about Aleister Crowley and his followers, especially those who had a hand in founding NASA and the technology NASA used and still uses, like Parsons, and talks about L. Ron Hubbard, and it talks about a lot of people. But it gets in heavily into like the alien stuff, how most people in the alien camp, and remember, this is a UFO TV documentary. It's created by people who I've seen their documentaries before, and normally they're pro extraterrestrial, other planetary life. But this is all like accurate information about, you know, interdimensional beings and how the evidence points not at beings from outer space, but beings from another dimension and spiritual beings. And, you know, like, it's just a really good documentary, and I recommend it. To my other point that kind of plays off of that one is something else that the documentary touches on, and that is what I want to say first, and then I'll say what the other thing the documentary touches on is, that all of this stuff, like this guy, this so-called whistleblower, all of this disclosure stuff, to me is to hide the truth of it, in my opinion, and that is that there may have been like some sort of reverse tech, not like where they reverse manufacture stuff,
reverse engineering.
Yeah, that may be possible, but I think that it is a lot more plausible and possible that fallen principalities, fallen angels, and demonic entities are giving these people through their occult ceremonies and whatnot, the means to build these things, like Parsons and going from solid to liquid rocket fuel. You know, I agree that it's fallen angel technology, but I believe wholeheartedly that it's like, for example, the craft. We have no, I mean, just think about the type of craft that the government had that we knew about in the 90s. I can guarantee you that regardless of how we want to speculate they got it, they've got anything that if any of us saw it, I mean, they've got plenty of things that if we saw it, we would think immediately UFO, you know, UAE, or whatever you want to call it. Spaceship, for lack of a better word. If someone in the 60s saw a 90s era stealth bomber, that's what they would have thought, right? And I think that we have this, you know, even more today. And I also believe that aliens themselves can be explained in two ways. One is like actual demons, like spiritual entities that don't have a body, like that happens during, you know, sleep paralysis. But also the same type of spiritual entities that are disembodied that have been through fallen angel technology placed inside of either
meat suits, or that's what I call them.
Yeah, exactly. Like organic grown bodies that have no spirit, or like robot bodies, or half and half, however they've been created, whatever they've been created out of, created bodies with demonic spirits. That's what I think so-called ETs are.
I agree with you. And I think an important point that you made at the beginning of this was that the UFO phenomenon and the occult, they go hand in hand.
Hand in hand.
And that makes you think, like, why do you have to do this occult satanic ritual to get in contact with aliens? That doesn't make any sense. If they were, you know, from a different planet and, you know, just a straight up non-spiritual being, you know what I mean? Like, why would you have to do an occult ritual?
I believed in aliens, like extraterrestrial aliens. Yeah. And it goes hand in hand with New Age beliefs and theosophical beliefs. Now, not every New Ager believes in extraterrestrial aliens, but majority of them do. And you'll see it in their writings. You'll see them in their New Age theosophical writings, whether it's, you know, Barbara Marx Hubbard or Marianne Williamson, or former UN Undersecretary General Robert Mueller. You know, like they all discuss otherworldly beings, right, or other beings of the universe. And it's you're right, it goes hand in hand. I mean, I used to, you know, truly believe in the Pleiadians, for example, when I was a New Ager, and that's, you know, looking back on it now, it's hilarious, right? But like, I did. And, you know, now, you know, from a biblical perspective, to see them as being likely fallen angels and demons, you know, I mean.
Right. And you brought up Stephen Greer earlier. And if nobody, you know, if you have never heard of Stephen Greer, he is one of the leading, quote unquote, experts in the UFO phenomenon. Okay. And he's the CEO of SETI. and they study extraterrestrials and UFO phenomenon, right? And he is in constant, supposedly in constant contact with these beings, right? And you know how he does it? Meditation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meditation. And it's a specific word before the word meditation. It's a certain type of meditation, but that is how he communicates with these beings. And of course they tell him, you know, one of the things that was interesting with him is he has some sort of connection with Wernher von Braun. Wernher von Braun, if I said that right.
Wernher von Braun.
Yeah, there you go.
Braun. Is it transcendental meditation?
Transcendental, yes. There it is. There it is. And there was a woman that was kind of, that was associated with him as well, who said that Wernher von Braun literally said that the great deception, in his opinion, was going to be a false alien invasion. And that's exactly, even though
that's what I talked about earlier.
I saw that interview.
I don't know if that's there's a stream I have to do of it, because we digged on who his secretary was and her New Age connections.
Yep.
And though I'm saying it's possible, I'm not saying it's not. However, because of Wernher von Braun, because of his secretary, because of their New Age connections and what they believed in and who they were around, again, the false alien invasion, you know, Project Blue Beam, which Project Blue Beam was more that aliens were just kind of like an addendum. We have to be cautious that may be a ruse.
Yeah. I was going to say that, like, hear me out for this theory real quick. All right. So they're prepping the world for obviously disclosure, right? And a lot of Christians think that the great deception will be a false alien invasion. And we just, you know, we literally just talked about where that actual concept comes from, right? But I don't know if you know Gons, right? From Face Like the Suns and Canary Car Radio.
Yep.
All right, so I'm with him on this. He thinks that that's actually the great deception, is when God comes back, it's going to look like a type of alien invasion.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so we're actually going to go to war with God.
Multifaceted.
Oh,
but
for sure.
I agree,
for sure. But that's
completely
just
that's probably the final phase of it.
Right. Yeah. So they're going to make you pick a side, right? So if we get, you know, if we have some sort of disclosure now and these aliens end up trying to, because they always come with this message that they're going to try to make mankind better and save mankind and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of people, if that happens, a lot of people are going to be like, oh, these are good guys. These are good guys. And they're going to save us from the bad guys. When it's like Star Wars. Almost, you know how like really the bad guys are the good guys, like in an allegorical way in Star Wars.
Well, I don't know if you remember when we did the episode, I think it was with Gary Wayne, but you know, I said something about that. I said, how else can you get the whole world to go to war with God, the Son of Man, when he returns?
Right.
By saying that it's an alien, you know, an alien invasion.
And did you guys hear about, I don't know if you guys want to, if you have anything to say on that last point, but have you heard about the UFO that supposedly crashed in Nevada, in Las Vegas?
Yeah. Yep.
In that dude's backyard. Have you guys seen the video?
I've seen several videos, and there was, I don't know if you guys, I'm sure you are familiar with End Times Productions, but he said that he was like up in the, Colorado, I think he said, area, and he actually saw the same like blue light going down or whatever, the shooting star looking thing from there.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, if you look at the cop's cam, okay, like that thing was hauling across the sky. And if you dissect the video, this kid claims that it landed in his backyard, and there's a photo of where it supposedly landed. I don't know if you've seen it, because he's made a couple videos trying to explain further. And it's just like this perfect ring in dirt. Okay. And there's no impact at all. That's the first thing I notice, is I saw how fast that thing was going. It was hauling across the sky, well, first of all. And if it crashed into his backyard, there would be a pit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it would, there's no way it just softly landed and made a nice little dirt circle.
If you've never seen a falling star, at the beginning of every one of our documentaries, just before the documentary itself starts, at the end of the Kingdom Productions Network introduction, you'll see a falling star, and it's an actual video from me going down 95 one night during a meteor shower. And it's, when that thing happened, I thought, I was looking for an explosion afterwards, because I thought it was like, I didn't know what it was. So, but in any case, it was going diagonal, and you can see that in the, just by going to the intro of any of our documentaries. But I also put it up on Facebook right after it happened. But like, this thing was going straight down. It wasn't like a normal shooting star.
And you didn't see any impact, right?
No, I didn't see the photo. Well, I may have seen the photo, but I don't remember how big it was.
Yeah, it was it's if you took a stick and made a circle in the dirt. There's literally no impact at all.
Well, and I think, to be honest, I think I think, in my opinion, what happened was he saw the same thing that so many other people saw, and he wanted to get some infamy from it. I don't think that crater came from whatever that was.
Yeah, I agree, because when you watch the cop's cam, you see it hauling across the sky, bro. Like, it doesn't come straight down. Like, they said it took an hour for the cops to get there, okay? Now, did this kid live an hour away? Because that thing was going so fast and so far across the sky. You know what I mean? There is no way it landed, you know, a few blocks down from the cop.
Yeah.
You know, there's literally no way.
Yeah, like I said, it was seen in the Midwest.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And if you've seen the video of him also trying to explain more information about what happened to him and stuff, he said that there was beings in his backyard about 8 to 10 feet tall.
Mm-hmm. And I did see that.
Yeah. And in the video, when he's explaining this, he's wearing a Simpsons. I'm not saying this is related, but you know how symbolism goes, right? Or psyops. But he's wearing a black sweatshirt with the Simpsons. You know, the Simpsons were on in the front of his sweatshirt, and it was a black and white checkerboard. And I just thought that was interesting, because I'm like, there would be that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, everybody knows that the Simpsons is what they use to disclose everything.
Right. Simpsons and Family Guy. Well, what's your opinion, John?
I mean, to me, it looked like it was just well produced. And we're going to probably see more of it. That's
particular
my
timing.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're, you know, it's, again, I don't know if it's going to stick. And I look at it more the way that Gons does from Canary Cry Radio, in that, you know, that the whole false alien invasion is going to lead to some sort of, like you said, some kind of, you know, war. They're going to try to say that the return of Jesus is going to be aliens, you know, right, to make people upset and angry. I definitely can see that happening. So I guess, you know, time will tell. There's nothing they can show me to make me believe in extraterrestrial aliens at this point, because I just don't think they exist. I just don't.
And to clarify by that, do you mean like beings from another planet, right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
Okay.
But hence extraterrestrial. I'm not saying demons or Nephilim or anything like that. I believe those definitely exist, but to be, you know, a Pleiadian alien from, you know, the Pleiades, that's true. You know, and I do think you can be a Christian and believe in extraterrestrial aliens, but I don't think it's biblically accurate, in my opinion.
I agree.
And so, but yeah, I mean, I think it's just going to continue. I think it's just going to ramp up more. We'll see how crazy it gets.
Your mic's going in and out, buddy. I think your beard's hitting it.
Is it better now?
Perfect.
Yeah, we'll see how it gets. So.
Yep. Yeah, I find the timing of all three of these things, you know, the NASA conference, the whistleblower, and then apparently this downed UFO and beings coming out in Nevada, like all three of them happen so close together. Like, what are the chances? What are the odds of that? You know, there's something fishy. There's something up with that.
Yeah, they seem. Go ahead, yes. Sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead. Because no, I was going in another direction. So go ahead.
No, okay, what direction you were going? Because I was going to go in another direction.
Oh, so. I was just going to say, just for time's sake, unless we're going to make this a show, you know, all about extraterrestrials and whatnot, I was just going to ask you guys what you thought about the indictment of Trump during the election. You think that it's a shield to get him in office or to kind of get him out of the race to put the spotlight on someone else to be the savior?
Well, that's a good question. And to be honest with you, I'm not 100% certain, but the way that I see it looking right now, in my own opinion, is that this is going to cause some ruckus in the sense of all his followers, if he were to indeed get indicted, you know, or arrested.
Oh, he's already been indicted.
No. What I mean is if he actually serves a 400-year sentence, yeah. You know, like if he goes to jail, okay. His, I think it's going to cause a great division in the country, and all the patriots and all the nationalists are going to stand up, and it's going to cause, it could potentially cause a civil war, but they have a backup plan because now Elon Musk and DeSantis are getting together and DeSantis is, you know, he's making his way up the ranks now and is a potential actual presidential candidate.
Yep.
You know,
remember,
he's gaining all these followers.
Said, watch DeSantis.
Yep. Watch DeSantis, man. And he's a part of the World Economic Forum. People don't know that. He's literally a member of the World Economic Forum. He's an agenda
Imagine
contributor.
Imagine that.
Yeah. So the way I see it, it's all a stage, bro. Everything about it. And I don't know exactly how it's all going to go down, but it's definitely all a
stage.
So
you mean to tell me that you honestly believe that the politics in the United States of America are not real and accurate? People's vote does not count?
Never have, to be honest with you.
Absolutely correct.
Yep. And that's the thing, well, is I think
I don't know if it never has, but I will say
since I've been alive.
I would say a lot longer than that, but I would say since the I don't know if the listeners have ever seen The Creature from Jekyll Island, but it's all about the creation of the Federal Reserve. And, I would say that at least since that point, but most likely since the 19th century, like the end of the 19th, beginning of the 20th century at least, but probably through the 18th and 19th, the 19th and 20th century, like all the way through, probably during the age of the Rockefellers and Carnegies and, you know, all those
right
guys.
Yeah, have you seen, do you know who Dr. Laura Sanger is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she wrote a whole book on that, mm-hmm. the roots of the Federal Reserve and the connection to the Nephilim and all this stuff. And, but yeah, man, it's all aroused in my opinion. But I think it also ties into Christian, not because Trump claims to be a Christian. It's going to cause the Christian nationalists, the Reawaken America folks to get out of hand, in my opinion. They're going to get out of hand with this.
One way or the other, whether it puts him in office or they put him in jail and it causes an all-out civil war, one of the two will happen, in my opinion.
Yeah. I agree. This indictment is only to make people buy into the system and to get behind him and vote for him, even though we know that all presidents are corrupt, every single one of them that we've ever had, and Trump is no different. And so I believe that Biden on purpose, because Alice Bailey said externalization of the hierarchy, which I'm reading currently, that it will begin around 2025. Is when she wrote this book in the early 19th century. She wrote it to show kind of like the staging of the New World Order, how the Theosophists and the Gnostics and the Luciferians would infiltrate the Christian church. Well, they've done it. How the New Agers would start to be revealed to the world in 2025. I think she channeled this information through automatic writing from demons. She might be off. I don't think the timetable is 100% accurate, but it does look like that's what's going to happen. Trump would be inaugurated as president in January 2025 if he gets elected, which I think that he will. Even if Trump isn't the Antichrist, let's say that he's just, one of the 10 kings, or he's just, extraordinarily, powerful, no matter what, he is a Antichrist. I think he's
probably too old to be the Antichrist, but he's definitely a Antichrist and could be one of the 10 kings.
And we're definitely going to see, we're going to see this, play out. I'm not saying no, this thus saith the Lord. Okay. I'm not prophesying up here. I'll buy their fruits. Okay. We're going to see whether or not he is or someone else is. There's many leading candidates. Because I do believe that even though we have been living in the end times since Jesus has resurrected, I do believe this is going to be the events, prophesied within the Bible, and the tribulation is about to start occurring within the next decade or two.
Yeah, by 2030 for sure.
And so I think, Trump going through his trials and tribulations, they keep blasphemingly comparing it to the trial of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Trump himself has done it. Trump's family has done it. So this is to rally people behind him, because Biden, guys, what I was gonna say about sterilization hierarchy, he is, the bloom is off the rose with Biden. Biden is, on all appearances, the most incompetent, worst president the United States has ever had, as far as is externalization to the masses, which is externalization of the hierarchy, right? It's being shown. You're being able to peek behind the curtain and look at the wizard. Okay. And in doing so, that's supposed to initiate the masses, supposed to start the great awakening, which in the Bible, we know it as the great apostasy, the great falling away, the great rebellion. Okay. Depending on what translation you're looking at. Okay. And so that's exactly what's happening right now. God is separating.
The Bible actually talks about both, though. It talks about the time when knowledge would increase.
Yes.
And I think that it's not talking about biblical knowledge. But this occult knowledge, we see this increase there. So we see a great occult awakening.
Very much so, yes. But they're trying to frame it as a Christian awakening.
Yeah, of course, because it's the great apostasy. It's the falling away.
Yes.
And, but anybody with just the slightest bit of common sense should be able to see that a public defender would be able to get Trump off of these charges with what they've charged him with, because when a president leaves office, any documents they take with them are declassified. They are able to declassify anything and take them with them. And if that's the Presidential Records Act, but they are not prosecuting him under the Presidential Records Act. They're using the Espionage Act, which is, I mean, when the Espionage Act was put into law, it was not to use against anyone but traitors and, you know, like foreign spies. So
yeah, what I heard is that they added that within the Espionage Act. Apparently, at any president that leaves the office, those classified documents are supposed to go to this agency. I forgot what it's called, the National Archives Agency.
Yeah, National Archives. But none of the presidents, even if, let's say that you have to put the paperwork in to classify the documents, okay? Let's say that has to happen because Trump was like, I could think it could become declassified. I don't necessarily know if that's true, okay? But let's just say that, you know, that isn't. None of the other presidents who have all taken documents, including George H.W. Bush, you can go back and look.
And vice presidents.
Yes, exactly. And so the thing is now the difference is they'll say is well, Trump, they kept asking them for them back and Trump wouldn't give it to them. Okay. Where Pence gave them back and Biden gave them back. Okay. But let's just take that at face value. None of these other presidents, all these presidents have committed war crimes. Okay. Every living president and vice president of the United States of America should be brought up on a lengthy list of charges of criminal acts against the United States populace and against the world. Okay. But that won't happen. So they're going after Trump. And why are they going after Trump worse than any other president ever, even worse than Nixon? Because they got to make him a martyr. This is to get people bought back in, all in.
Absolutely.
All in. Because Biden's been a horrible president. And he's not there, let's be honest. He's not there. It's the puppeteers behind him. But he's designed to look bad. He is supposed to look bad, okay? And so that's why I believe he got elected now. I can see it. And it shows the pendulum, the switch, you know, to go back and forth, to go back to Trump. The economy's in the toilet. The nation's morale is in the toilet. Everything keeps getting magnified and personified at everybody at each other's throats, at least the viewing of such by social media, Republicans versus Democrats, right? The country's at a boiling point. If it is, if you're really at a boiling point with your neighbor or not, I don't know. But that's at least a perception that they're trying to give, okay? And so they want to make Trump the savior. Now, Trump has not called himself the savior of the world yet, but he has called himself the savior of Western civilization. And what's after next? The savior of the world, which is utter blasphemy. Okay. He even said the other day on Truth Social, which is blasphemy in of himself that they named it Truth Social and that he puts any truths out. Okay. It's a detriment to truth. Okay. To object to truth. It just truly is. And he said he will, America went to bed the night of his arrest. The night of his indictment, went to bed with tears on their pillows, okay? And he will dry every tear.
Wow.
Well,
every tear will be dried. He said that, and I'm like,
I hope everyone's listening.
God does so that. Too. It is mentioned in the Book of Revelation. Okay, so why would he write America went to bed with tears on their pillow, and every tear will become dry? Why? Any Christian, that should set up major alarm bells and you'd be like,
yep.
I mean, among other things, okay? And go, especially when he announced, I'm the savior of the world. There's only one savior, and it's Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Cursed is the man who puts his faith in man, okay? Just saying.
Didn't he even admit that he's being persecuted like Jesus?
That's correct, yes.
It's not even close, bro.
Put on some social media, you know who else was arrested this week in history talking about Christ?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that happened.
Yeah, I mean, regardless to whether it's any of us on here or the listeners, regardless of your age, whether you're old enough to remember when the country found out that, you know, professional wrestling wasn't real.
It's still real to me.
Or you're not old enough to remember that, but you're old enough to remember when you individually realized that professional wrestling was not real. It is a paradigm shift. And if you're familiar at all with professional wrestling, you have a hero or a group mm-hmm. of heroes mm-hmm. and heels. The mm-hmm. heels are the bad guys, and the heroes are the good guys. And you have heels that become heroes all the time. You have heroes that turn and become heels all the time. And the same is true with politics. You'll have, like, Trump has historically been a Democrat. He's yeah. voted and been a, you know, for Democratic and liberal values. But now all of a sudden he's like the
most Republican dude ever.
Child, yeah, for conservatism. And he wants to talk about he's the only one that he's not gonna get out of the way and let them continue to, what was the word he used? I don't know, but they're doing this to him because
he always says Christians. Yeah, he's saying I'm in their way. I'm standing in their way. I'm the only thing that's protecting you from them. I'm yep. standing in your, you know, in their way, protecting you. He says that all the time.
As Newt Gingrich
would say, they're persecuting me.
He's not a part of the secret societies, which is BS.
Yeah.
Yeah. While you had stepped away from the mic for a minute, Jeremy and I had started talking about DeSantis and what's his name? The billionaire who now owns Twitter.
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, yeah. But how DeSantis had become an actual candidate. And
not by the polls. The polls. Well, I mean, if you trust the polls, he's getting destroyed.
Well, I took what Jeremy said to mean like actually down on paper as a candidate.
Oh,
I
he is. Yes,
he
he's running
it.
For president. But the polls, Trump is up by like I don't.
Oh yeah, of course. But
the more
yeah.
indictments, he's about to get in. Actually, Trump's probably about to get indicted over January 6th. Actually, Jack Smith just released that today. That they're going to indict him for January 6th now.
None of that surprises me. But I think whether all of these indictments lead to him going into office or they actually take him to trial in record time before the election and he's put in prison and it leads to a civil war, whoever does win the election will be put in the perfect place to become the quote-unquote savior.
Yeah. Right, yeah, John, we were talking about how DeSantis is also, he is a member of the World Economic Forum. He's
yeah.
an agenda mm-hmm. contributor, and he's like, he would be, I think that he would be the perfect backup because JFK or Kennedy Jr. is a Democrat, and I'm sure nobody's going to want a Democrat in there. So
yeah,
I think he's got a potential to be second.
I think
second
Kennedy
selection.
Jr.'s actually got more, even though his voice hinders him just because of the Kennedy Camelot motif. And Kennedy's actually 20 or 30 up on Biden. So we'll see. I mean, I honestly think, and in the quote from Trump that you're trying to remember, Jeremy Anderson, I want to get it specifically, is in the end, they're not coming after me. They're coming after you, and I'm just standing in their way. That's his exact quote.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about what he said in his speech on his birthday after the indictment. Because he said it again, but he took it even further, and he said, that the reason they were coming after him and the reason that he wasn't getting out of the way was so that they weren't able to come after Christians. He didn't say come after, but I can't think of the word he did say. And he literally said that, you know, that he was there to persecution. He said, so there will not be any worsening persecution of Christians. And he called himself a Christian again. And I mean,
that's crazy. I actually missed that. But I guess one last thing is did you guys see Sean Foyt and the whole ecumenical prayer thing with Stephen Ketamine Bannon and Sean Foyt, like taking communion inside the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol and declared the blood of Jesus all over the nation? And Foyt just like,
I miss that.
Dude, Steve Bannon is the farthest person from a Christian. It's just blasphemous, but go on. Sorry, dude. No, that just makes me angry.
But Foyt, they're doing this ecumenical national prayer where they're getting all the pastors for Trump together. So there's Catholics and Orthodox and Protestants of all different denominations, possibly even from what I've seen, two Jewish rabbis. Okay.
Surprise me.
And they're getting
Jared Kushner, right?
So. Which I mean, Paula White came out and literally just repeated what Hagee said about the Jews. You guys saw that, right?
Like the Christian Zionism is just rampant in America. So, I mean, the fact that rabbis would be sharing a stage with Christians or quote unquote Christians is just not, it doesn't surprise me a bit.
Judeo-Christian.
Yeah. I mean, words laughable, but
it's an oxymoron. There was an article for the Jerusalem Post about Paula White being over at Israel studying the Torah with Orthodox Jews. And she's pretty much pulling Hagee's that Christians can learn from Jews instead of proselytizing or trying to convert them.
I can hear Hagee's defense of Israel commercial like in my head right now.
There's two covenants. They're saved, you guys. There's no need to proselytize to the Jews. They don't need Jesus.
I was just gonna say that's what they preach, you know, they'll be saved by the works.
Well, you got all, but see what's laughable to me is like you've got Calvinists of all kinds, be they complete full tulip believing Calvinists or progressive Calvinists that are dispensational. They both are pro-Israel and Christian Zionists, and whether they blame it on predestination or the dual covenants, none believe that you have to share the gospel with Israel, and a lot of them believe there's no reason to share the gospel with anybody because,
well, I know some Calvinists that do believe you should share it.
I didn't say all of them by any means. Now I'm talking about doctrine, like, you know, the doctrine of predestination. And even those who believe in full predestination don't necessarily believe that we shouldn't share the gospel, because
that's true.
I've heard a lot of them say just because God knows, we don't know. So
that's
we should
true,
share
yeah.
the gospel with everybody, you know, because we have no idea who God has chosen and who he hasn't. But it still leads, the doctrine itself is... at least man-made, if not demonic.
Well, I have major issues with it. Obviously, I've stated on, I've stated on my own channel. I've stated on By Their Fruits. I've stated when you had me on the Remnant Report, Jeremy. Yeah. I mean, I definitely have issues with Calvinism. But I mean, I have Calvinist brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah,
and they're friends of mine.
I do too. I mean, I've got friends who are in several different sects and denominations, and if it's not if it's not a damnable heresy, then I will warn people but not break fellowship.
Yeah,
you know, I'm the same way. There you've got flammable heresies and damnable heresies. You know, a flammable heresy being one that can lead you to a damnable heresy, and the other already being there.
But a lot of the dispensational teachers, but not all of them that I've seen, they talk about during the time of the law that the Jews were right in God's eyes and saved, you know, to go to paradise or Abraham's bosom by the works that they did, not the faith they had in God. I find that to be horribly inaccurate.
Oh, no doubt.
I'll be honest, and I've made no secret of this. I firmly believe the way the early church believed that Christians, that we all go to Hades, Christians go to paradise, and non-believers go to the place where the other compartment in Hades.
Yeah, mean Abraham's closer. Bosom.
Yeah, well, Abraham's bosom would be paradise.
You mean currently, Jeremy?
Yeah, currently.
See, I used to believe that, but I don't anymore, because Paul said to be absent with the bodies, be present with the Lord. I think Jesus...
And the early Christians believed that they believed that you were in God, in Christ's presence in some way, although they don't go into a whole lot of detail on what that is. And I think a lot of it would have to do with and I think this is a mystery that we'll none know until we die.
That's true.
But, you know, I think it would be determined by, is it the literal heart of the earth, you know, like inside the earth, or is it another like spiritual dimension that's also inside the earth or whatever?
Can I ask you something real quick, Jeremy?
Sure.
So from my understanding, Abraham's bosom is, it's split up. Abraham's bosom, and there's two parts to Abraham's bosom is what side is Hades, the other side is paradise.
It's paradise, and it's separated by a giant chasm.
No, Hades is the grave, and this is just the Greek language. Hades is unfortunately, when you look at modern translations, English translations, you'll see Hades and the Lake of Fire both translated as hell, but
they're just two separate things.
Yeah, because you look at the story of Lazarus, and they're side by side with another.
Lazarus goes where? To Abraham's bosom. The rich man doesn't go to Abraham's bosom. Mm-hmm. It says he goes afar off. I guess the English translation may say hell. I don't know. But I know that the rich man talks about him being in torment in this flame. And, you know, it's definitely not the lake of fire, but it's a place of torment, and
that's why I think it's Hades. I think it's separate from paradise.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, mm-hmm. Absolutely, but like, there's two. I agree with you. I think that we're differing on our terms here. Like, Hades definitely has two compartments, and this was the early Christian belief, and this came from the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, and that is Hades had two compartments, one compartment for the righteous and one compartment for the wicked. Let's just talk about Old Testament, or before the death and resurrection of Christ, for right now, for that parable. If you look at the parable, if you pull your Bible up, open your Bible, whatever, you'll see that the It's only Lazarus that goes to Abraham's bosom. The rich man doesn't go to Abraham's bosom. Mm-hmm. And Jesus tells the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, we know that Jesus went not to heaven, but to the grave inside Hades. But he wouldn't have gone to where the rich man went. He would have went to Abraham's bosom, being, you know, righteous and being the Son of God. I think that a very good argument can be made that Jesus went other than just Abraham's bosom, because I believe that when it says he preached to the spirits, it's talking about, you know, he proclaimed victory.
Yeah, I believe he went to Hades too. Yeah. Or Tartarus or Sheol.
Tartarus would be it, like Sheol.
Is another thing for Hades.
Yeah.
So I guess we're getting the terminology confused. So we believe Hades or Sheol has two compartments. One is paradise and one is Tartarus.
Yeah.
And then they're separated by a great gulf or a great chasm.
Well, and Tartarus was like only reserved for the angels. There's no, in the Septuagint or the New Testament, Tartarus is not used for the grave or a place of punishment at all for humans.
Right. It's below Sheol.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
From my understanding.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
But I got to go, guys. If you guys want to continue to have this conversation, go for it. Or you guys can save it for another time. But maybe next week. But I got to dip. I got to take care of my son real quick. And then I'm taking off. So,
all right. I guess we'll close for this episode of By Their Fruits. We want to thank Jeremy Anderson for coming on and join us to talk about current topics and everything that is going on. Is there anything else you want to say real quick, Jeremy, in closing to the audience?
Which one?
It's Jeremy.
Jeremy Anderson.
Just be sure to hit the follow button on both By Their Fruits and the Kingdom Productions Network. And if you have not already become a monthly subscriber, be sure to do so. The link to become a subscriber will be in the description. It will be well worth it. And heck, if you don't think it's worth it, then cancel the subscription. You're only out $3.
Less than a cup of coffee at Starbucks.
That's right.
All right, buddy. Thank you for coming on. Absolutely. One last thing for the audience. Don't just follow. Can you guys, if you could please rate the show?
Yes, right.
And hit the bell, because we're trying to beat the algorithms here. We want to spread the word of God. We want to spread this podcast. We want to reach as many people as we can. And it's only by your actions that we can do that. So if you could just rate the show, follow the show, and hit that bell and subscribe to the Kingdom Productions, that'd be awesome. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of By Their Fruits, and we'll see you next time.
God bless.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to By Their Fruits. May the Lord bless the giver, the gift, and the receiver.